You know, there's a ministry that comes from the mind of man. But there's another ministry that comes from the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. And as we began to sing, I know that there's going to be a different ministry. You know, I believe that we are going to be fed by the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, for we set aside man's wisdom and we submit to the mind of Christ. We open our hearts to receive and to benefit, to tap into this unlimitless source of life and power and energy that is called Christ. We're coming to that, into this new life, into this new experience, wherein man has not been able to walk, wherein we have been coming in and going out. But Lord, you do open the door for us to come in and to abide. Lord, we receive grace. We receive this ministry, this gift that you sent to us today. We receive it by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And we ask for a sealing upon our hearts as we come to your dying table. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read a couple of scriptures. But before that, there was a scripture in 1 Corinthians 9:27. Let's turn to it. Because today, this evening, I want to talk about overcoming spiritual Babylon. So let's turn through Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I think it's a major block. This is a major block. And if we're able to overcome this, then we can make much, much, much progress. Paul said, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." So, can I ask you a question? Who are you? Are you body or are you soul? Or are you spirit? So choose one. But which one will you choose? I'm asking you a question. So which one are you? Are you body, soul, or spirit? Paul said, I keep under my body. Who is keeping who under? So who are you? So as you look at yourself, who are you? Are you body? Or are you soul? Or are you spirit? Or are you all together? But say the truth, when you look at yourself, what do you identify with? Do you identify with the body or with the soul? Well, I tell you what I identify with. I identify with my body.
Naturally.
I identify with my body.
Naturally.
But you are not body. You are not body. You see, and that's the key to overcoming. And I'm telling you, but the devil knows this. But you see, I wanted to use the word time bomb, but it's something that is time dependent, because when we realize who we are, then the devil is finished. You know, because we can't fight this battle with carnal weapons. We can't overcome at the carnal level. You know, we can only overcome when we come up higher. So Paul said, I keep under my body. So who was I in this scripture? You know, so this is not something out of metaphysics. It's right out of your condition. Paul is differentiating between his body and himself, who is the soul. Amen. You know, so the soul that sinned shall die. There's a difference between spirit, body, and the soul. And our victory is in identifying who we are. And in identifying who we are, they will have the right relationship. You know, so, who rules you? Who rules who? Is it your soul that rules your body? Let me give you an example. David, what did David say? Say, my soul. Do what? Praise the Lord. Amen. Is it in your Bible? David said, my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is a song. You know, we're called to song. Sonship is not English language. Sonship is dominion. Authority. Amen. Okay, let me read another scripture, then I'll come back to 1 Corinthians. But I'm trying to... You see, there is something that God is giving to us. You know, you see, we've stayed too long in this lower plane, and time is running out. And like Brother Bot was saying, Christians are being slaughtered. Not just by ISIS, but by disease and sickness, plagues, things that shouldn't even be mentioned. Because we do not have the ability to draw life in the spirit. There's a source of life that is available to us, but we're not touching it. We're not,
yes.
You know, and our life is ebbing now. We're just losing life. We're not able to connect, and it cannot go on for long. So. We have to come up higher. So Paul is saying, I keep under my body. And what did he say? I bring it into subjection. Amen. Let's look at this other scripture. I forgot it now. Where was I going to go? Okay, let's look at, I love that scripture, I'll come back to it. Let's go on to the next scripture I want to read. Proverbs 16, 24. 24. We're talking about spiritual Babylon. Proverbs 16, 1, 6, 2, 4. I want you to, I remember the scripture. So let me go there first, then we'll come back to 24. Proverbs 16:32. Remember, we're talking about sonship. Not outer court business, the holy place business. That is, the holy place is where the soul comes to dominion. In the holy place, we have crowns. We have crowns at the shewbread. We also have crowns at the golden altar. And the crown speaks of sonship, dominion, authority. In the outer court, the soul is in a place of offering. It's a place where it is making a covenant with God and beginning to offer itself and beginning to come into the life of God. But the holy place is a place of dominion, where the soul begins to come into authority, into the place of power and government. So let's look at an example of a son. Proverbs 16:32. What does it say? So he that is slow to anger. Well, let's put it this way. The emotion that is slow to anger. I think that reads better, isn't it? Mm-hmm. When you say he, it's impersonal, it doesn't really touch you. You can easily go home free. But to try and put emotion, the emotion, my emotion that is slow to anger is what? It's better. And he that rule, those that rule are sons, dominion, authority. And he that ruleth over his spirit, that he that takes the city, is filled of authority and power. So how are you going to have authority over your emotions, over your desires, over passions, over your mind, over the will? Who is going to have authority over the mind? It is me. He kept Adam. He said, look, keep the garden. You have to keep the garden. You remember Proverbs, Genesis 1, it says, he created the man, and so that the man would do what? He said, have dominion. I have to have dominion here. Amen. Okay, someone said, oh, no, I was provoked. Sons, that is not a language for sonship. Sons don't talk like that. You don't say, I was under pressure. Pressure is no excuse. You know, in fact, pressure is what, that's how God tests his sons. He puts them under pressure. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know, when you're making a car, the governor knows that. It's not what you do. When you create different conditions and you test their product, you pass it through stress. Stress test. And when you come and say, this is premium, is it not? So when you find yourself under premium, test, then you know you're going through excess test. Alright? I do a run check, you know, once in a while I come through and I test myself. How am I doing in this premium test? there are many scriptures that talk about God, but let's look at the other one. There are two of them I like. Proverbs 25:28. He's actually explaining Proverbs 16:32. What does it say? Oh, they lost it again. 25:28. Okay, what does it say? The soul. Oh, anyway, you see here, just put soul, you make you feel better. Okay, it brings it home. I can even put your name there. That has no rule over his own spirit.
It's like a city. It's broken down without war.
So that means the spirits can come in and go. Alright? So that means there is no gatekeeper in that city. There is no that cannot be a son. So he's calling us to sonship. We have a sonship message. So we should be specializing in having dominion over our own spirit. We should be ruling. We should be having dominion. Amen. Now, yes?
Is it really speaking of our soul when it says rule over his own spirit? Because the thought is that when God reached into Adam, of course, you know, it wasn't, but that he became a living soul. And the Greek or the Hebrew for spirit is breath, breathe. So would it be speaking of
the
soul?
Yes, it's speaking of the soul. If you're going technical, if you're looking at technical word, ruach and nefesh. Ruach is a compound word. that is used. In some cases, it makes a difference and talks about nefesh, but ruach is a general, is genetic, is a general word. So you have to look at the context in which it is used. And in this context, it's clear, it's speaking about the soul. And if you put it in context of 16, it's talking about anger, which is emotion. Which is emotion.
Right.
And of course, that is like jumping the gun because we don't like to look at it that way, but the soul is spirit. I don't know if I can say that. Soul is spirit. Soul is a spirit, and that's where I'm going to. The soul is a spiritual reality, and that's actually where I'm going to.
Yeah, and sometimes the word rock is used to describe the passions.
Okay.
If a man has rule over his passions,
yes.
When you talk to somebody has a spirit of anger.
It's
actually an attitude, a disposition, a trait, a tendency,
And if you allow me to be technical, if you actually, when you come to the Greek, it's beautiful. Now, the word for passion, you know what it is? Tumos.
Tumos?
Yes, T-H-U-M-O. Tumos. It's from here you get the word tumult.
Tumult.
That means, when you say something that is tumultuous, that means something that explodes.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, it's a root word for offering. You see, when you make a sacrifice, you burn it. It goes up, so it's like it evaporates. It's like, exactly. So the way God made the motion, like everything in the motion is a tumult, is an offering. Everything about your motion is an offering, either to God or to another spirit. Oh, yes. So, in fact, the Hebrew uses the word ola. An ola offering means a burnt spirit, a burnt offering. Something that is burnt, a sacrifice. So, the nature of emotion is a nature of offering, of sacrifice. You understand? So, when he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Or a sacrifice.
Exactly. You say sacrifice. So, that expression of your emotion is an offering unto God. So offering is not what you do, it is a lifestyle, it is who and what you are. Okay, so the Bible talks about the peace offering. It says the peace offering, you bring the liver, which is the emotion, you bring the kidneys, which also speak of the desires. So those two inward organs of the body is speaks of the energy, and you bring it with the fat. And the fat actually speaks of your passion. So because it means you are breathing fast. So all of them are speaking of the energies of the emotion. And the energy of today, of the world today, is passion, and all that. So the world is becoming spiritual, but we, the people of God, are lagging behind. Because we do not identify who we are. We think we are body, but we are soul.
Yes.
And soul is a spiritual being. Amen.
Can I just ask them, is there certain languages that you can inherit?
What?
Certain temples that you can inherit and
come to your parents? Oh, yes. There are spirits. You can give an example. You can look at David, you can look at Abraham, all the people in his line. There was that tendency. Okay, he said Levi. Who is the other person? Levi.
Simeon.
And Simeon. Okay.
Instrumental.
He said they're instruments of rage.
Cruelty.
And in their anger, they burnt down the whole city. You understand? So that is. And he says that you do not know what spirit. I think it was
Shechem.
Peter, yes, that was Shechem.
Okay. James
and John, he said, sons of thunder. He said, Jesus, call that fire. He said, you do not know what spirit you are of. You understand? So, these things are passed down. And sometimes you find them in that they are tribal. You can see certain tribal groups, families, and all. So it's passed down. It's an ancestral spirit. In fact, it's called a familiar spirit.
Amen.
So it goes down like that. So
can overcome.
Yes. So we're looking at being able to exercise authority within
Jesus
and to overcome. Okay, so these scriptures were just, they're not part of what I'm doing this night. They were introduction. Questions from Bolabot and all that. Now is my own time. I've studied about
home. So this is bonus.
So Proverbs 16. Can we go to Proverbs 16, 24? So I want you to look at these scriptures carefully. I'm looking at something. Proverbs 16, 24. What does it say? What does it say? Say pleasant words are what? As an honeycomb. Sweet to the soul.
Unhealthy.
Is that in your Bible? Does the soul eat? It says sweet to the soul. You understand? So I hear you are just coming from that room. You were there for 2 hours waiting for ice cream. So who did you get anywhere because of your ice cream?
Praise the Lord.
So who were waiting because of the ice cream? And if it was going to be 3 hours, we'll wait for the ice cream. Okay, so here is the soul. And here is the body. And here is the spirit. Now, when we start out, we are completely oblivious of spirit and soul. We only know body. You know, so when you identify yourself, you are only thinking of your body. Now, the reason is that the mind has fallen. The mind has lost its authority. Can I use the right? So you have the mind. So this is the mind as the governor of the body. This is the emotion, and this is the desire, you know, and then this is the will. But in the way God made the soul, the life, the energy should come from the mind. This is the way it should function. The energy should come from the mind to your emotion, to your desire, and to the will. So this is how a redeemed soul should function. But you see, the energy of the mind comes from the spirit. Should come from the spirit. And of course, should actually come from the Holy Ghost through Christ through the Father. So this is the energy of God. Okay, so this is the way it should function. But you see, it doesn't always work this way, because the natural man, his mind is like that of the serpent. It's earthbound. It's earthbound. And is ruled, the energy of this mind comes from sexuality. And seduction. That's the energy of the mind comes from sexuality. Well, I'm jumping, but Okay, you can use the word sensuality. It's not really better.
It's brother.
No, don't worry. I don't, it's not better, but let's accept what where you are. It's not better, but we'll accept that. So let's use the word sensuality. Now, when you use the word sensuality, what you mean? You are speaking of the senses.
Feelings and all.
Okay, because you are the one that's going there. I didn't go there. But you see, when you think of the senses, there are senses in your mind, and there are senses in your body. There are senses in your mind and senses in the body. If I mention ice cream, you haven't seen the ice cream. But mommy says your mouth is already watering. You know what? There is a connection between your mind and the body. You understand? Okay, so that was jumping too very fast. So let me come back so that everybody we are going together. So we are looking for energy and strength for the soul. Now, the way it is, if I can use the word, that the soul is like a junkie. It's a very bad experience, an example, but please, pardon me. You know, the soul is like a junkie. But, you know, just pardon me. Because when someone is hooked on drugs, you know what he's going to do? What is he going to do? When he really needs the drug, he must get it. He's going to get it. Whatever it will take, it will get it. And we're looking at this place. It says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb to the soul. So the soul needs energy, needs life. And it's either going to get that life from the spirit. And if it doesn't have the ability to receive life from the spirit, where will it get it from? He has to get it from the body. He has to get it from, and the body is a lower energy. Now, according to the scripture, we're looking at it, says, do not fear him that has authority over your body alone, but you should fear him that has what? Authority over the body and the soul in hell. So Jesus was saying that the devil has authority over the body. It's given to him. I remember, when you have a spirit, the Bible will tell you the nature of the spirit, one. It will tell you the commission of the spirit, two. It will tell you the authority of the spirit. So the devil has authority over the body. Let me give you an example. Job. What happened to Job? The devil has authority over his body, the children, and others. I mean, it was, you know, but it was God that gave him that authority. Job didn't know, but eventually he got to find out. So the devil has authority over natural things. And if the devil wants to affect your mind, what he's going to do is to afflict the body. He cannot afflict your spirit. He does, because the spirit came from God. And when the man dies, what happens? The spirit goes back to God. So the spirit is given to pull up the soul.
Yes.
You understand? So the spirit has an upward pull to pull to bring a redemption to the,
yes,
to the spirit, to the soul. That's what the spirit is, and it's there for a time. You know, because you say the spirit of God will not always strive with man, is it not? There comes a time when the time runs out and the spirit goes back to God. Either it has succeeded or it hasn't succeeded. And remember, the body is also given to the soul to express the life of God on the earth. So even this body will also expire. The body expires. And the body expires when the soul is not able to draw life from God to replenish it. I don't know if you're with me.
Well,
you're basically outlining the laws of spiritual warfare.
Exactly. And we are being decimated. We are being decimated because we do not understand the laws of the Spirit. And the war is going on. The war is not going to stop because you don't understand it. So God expects you that in the midst of the war, you have to come of age and turn the battle. Okay, and we cannot, the only chance for my soul is to reach out to heaven and learn how to draw down life.
The law of the Spirit of life in
Christ. Jesus has set me free from the law of
sin. I don't know if I'm getting through. This mind must rise and begin to draw life. Now, when a soul comes to the world, it doesn't know God. Okay, well, we're going to get into those scriptures. Okay, so someone was talking about sensuality, the senses. The mind is a sense organ.
Sense work.
Well, I'm telling you what God told me, so you have to. and the way God spoke to me, He spoke to me about the dog. Have you seen a dog?
The dog.
The dog. D-O-G.
Like a good
walk. Oh, wait. What is special about the dog? The nose is so prominent, is it not? Huh? The nose is prominent. And what is so special about you? Your mind is prominent. Your mind is everything. The mind is all and all. It's the chief agent. Because see, this mind is the realm of the soul that is in fellowship with the Spirit. And this Spirit is in fellowship with the Spirit of God. Don't you understand? And so this is what you call the heart. This is the heart. This is the heart.
Only God, Spirit and mind.
Yes, they work together. And so, when you go home, look at every scripture in the Bible that has to do with your heart. The heart has emotions. The heart has desire. The heart has will. The heart has mind. So obviously, you know, for instance, Jesus said, "You will love the Lord thy God with what?
All your heart.
With all your heart. With all. With all the mind.
With all thy
strength,
and with all
your body." So this is the first and the greatest commandment. You understand? So the emotion and will are all function at the realm of the mind, and this goes on. So that is at another dimension. But we are looking at the ability of the mind to draw life. Now, if my mind is not able to rise in God to get the life of God, then there's trouble. Now, you see that principle among the Philistines. When they come into Israel, what they do, they arrest all their ability to make weapons. If you have to sharpen your knife, you go to the Midianite to sharpen their knife. So they controlled the ability to get life. In fact, whenever they plant, they harvest, they come and take everything. You understand? So that is the same principle. So the devil knows you're able to get life, able to get some oil from God, but we do not have the authority to preserve it. So all he needs to do is to wait upon you. You come to Luton Conference. You come to the conference. That the energy, someone wants the energy. Mm-hmm. Can you keep the energy?
Mm-hmm.
Can you keep the life? Amen. Okay, so that's the first scripture. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 19:15. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 19:15. What does this say?
Into a deep
speech.
An idle soul shall suffer
from it. Now, so here he's speaking about an idle soul suffering. So the soul can be hungry. So as you eat ice cream, I hope you understand where the ice cream is going to. The ice cream is for the body. But because you have not made provision for the soul is even happy with the ice cream. Don't you understand? So the soul climbs down and is getting life from the ice cream you are eating. Because you are not giving the soul. So it's what? Okay, that's okay. He's giving an example of the prodigal son. He should be eating on his father's table, you know.
Yeah.
But because he was prodigal, he had gone far from home, he was eating with swine. He was feeding a horse. So, what we are doing is that we are feeding the soul with husk. Life lesson. There's a scripture in Numbers 33. It says that the children of Israel, they began to hunger and pine away for cucumber, garlics. If you look at those things, they don't have any life. You know, and those are the things of Egypt. You know, that speaks of the energy that the world gives. So the soul is so famished, so weak, has no life, no energy. So it can make do with ice cream. It can make do with movies. It can make do with PhD, with biology and history and geography. Don't you understand? Because in other words, the mind has fallen down and is now so low that it is using the energy from the earth. Now, there's no way that mind is going to overcome or have authority. You know, there's no way that mind can guard the city, and there's no way that mind can be the mind, the bride of Christ. It cannot be. You know, so if I'm going to be the bride of Christ, then I have to feed on King's life. And the only place where you find King's life is in the holy place.
That's right.
And there's a King's table. Don't you understand? If you want King's food, you come to the King's table. King's restaurant.
Yeah.
And you can have a feast. And that was the word that Brother George brought the first thing. Say so there is a marriage feast. That was so, brother. And God, he has invited us to come to the marriage feast. And we're making excuses. Do you know what? There's a scripture that says that to the soul that is full, even the sweetest food.
Yeah.
No. This one is the opposite. There is another scripture that says that the soul that is full, that the food that is so sweet has no appetite.
Yeah,
that is it. Good. The full soul, what?
But
to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is what?
Sweet.
Praise God. That's Numbers 27:7. That's how I know it. Numbers 27:7.
Proverbs, sorry.
Okay. All right.
You got your scripture. That's what you were talking about. The scripture in Corinthians.
Yes.
Where it says the first Adam was of the earth.
That's right.
The second Adam was the Lord
from heaven. Is the Lord from heaven? Or I say it's a quickening spirit.
The quickening spirit.
Yeah.
And the word quicken is life.
Yeah, right. And that means the word for quickening spirit, I use the word spiritual soul. That means the soul that is receiving its energy direct from God. Because there are three levels of soul. There is the beastly soul. The beastly soul is everything is all earth. The carnal soul is both ways. Doing conferences to get some life. Well, after the conference, or after Sunday on Wednesday, it shut down. Until another fellowship time, then it's able to go get some life. But after fellowship, it shuts down. You understand? You know, but the spiritual soul, the appetites are changed. it has the ability, you know, to, you know, see, because the mouth, if you permit the word, that is the life. Okay, let's use the word, the life drawing capacity or ability in your mind. All right, is the mind. It's the mind that has ability to draw life from God. Mm-hmm. All right, but you see, the mind can be shut off, can be diseased. Mm. Okay, the scripture says, if the eye is what, single,
yeah.
Then it's full of light. All right, now if the eye is
evil,
what happens?
How it's full of darkness.
Okay, of course, that eye is speaking about the one eye is from the mind, means to see with the senses. They use the English word perception, that is to see, to be aware of God by the senses, to know God by the senses. But if my eyes are blind,
the light of you is darkened.
Of course, you understand? Okay, so the ability. My ability to draw life means how much understanding I have. How much of my understanding has been opened, is, you know, have been illuminated by the light of God, and I'm able to draw life. So a man that is carnal, an unbelieving man, cannot receive anything from God,
mm-hmm.
because his mind is shut. Okay. But see, there's a point where the mind is permanently shut, and that is the lake of fire. I mean, the door is closed. All right. So right now we are in a place where there's a temporary shutdown, but it can be reversible. It can be restored, and we are given time to really bring cause and have that reversal come, you know, a returning. You know, let's go a little bit down with the scriptures then. So we'll see 27:7. So that's a very important one. There's another one in 25:25.
As cold water to thirsty soul, good news from our father.
So the other one was saying hungry soul, we're saying thirsty soul. Okay, so it's all speaking of the desire, you know, the need to, you know, to bring, to receive life.
Blessed are those that hunger and thirst
for God.
Amen.
Let's go to 13:2. Proverbs 13:2. Okay, so a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall do what? Eat violence. Okay, so this is another dimension where you can actually get life and energy from violent movies. Some people like it, and horror movies. Oh my God, that is what I like. Okay, we're actually speaking to somebody. He said he liked, you know, sad things. He liked to play sad music, sad songs, live in a sad house. He liked to be everything sad. He liked sadness. I'm telling you, I won't mention the name of the person. All right, I spoke with the person, and you know, the deliverance came when the person realized that was the issue, and was able to deal with it. Okay, so there are people who thrive in violence. They get life. Verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth. So you see where the desire comes. Where is that? You can see the desire. Desireth and had nothing. But the soul of the diligent
shall be
made fat. So you can see the interplay of the physical with the spiritual. Okay? So whatever is happening naturally affects the soul. So God will bring oppression. That's why God has to put pressure on this physical as a way to put pressure on our spirit.
Oh.
And that is why we must go through tribulation. Because it's a way of getting to the soul. Let's look at 25, verse 25. 13:25. Okay, the righteous eateth to satisfy of his soul.
But the belly of the wicked
shall
want. Let's look at 27:20. Hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Amen. Proverbs 15:14. It says, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools is dead of
foolishness.
Then finally, Proverbs 20:17. Bread of the seed is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with what? Alright, so I just wanted, I brought up those scriptures, just to emphasize the point of what Paul was saying. He says, but I keep under my body.
Amen.
You know, so Paul could distinguish that his soul was different from his body. That the body was the house. And brethren, that is the point of maturity. So it's not everything my body wants that I'm going to get. That I'm going to get. And that's actually why you fast. That's why we fast. When we fast, we are trying to bring authority to the body, to the system. We are saying someone is in charge here. So the body, you just stay somewhere. The soul is going to open up itself to receive the energy of God. Alright. So when next you fast, try to exercise your soul. You know, and in exercising your soul, that gives you authority to put the body under. And when you begin to, when the soul begins to rise, when the soul begins to come to its rightful place, you know, then the order of God comes. Because the soul is supposed to, the body is supposed to be a much lower entity of you, and the soul is supposed to be dominant. So let's go to the second dimension of this ministry, Romans 12. I don't know if you have seen this scripture before. I don't know, have you seen it before? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Do you know it?
Yes.
Really? You know
it's a memory verse.
Okay, it's a memory verse. Okay. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorphosed, transformed by the anakinosis. My back says we should learn some Greek. That's what he was saying yesterday. So we're going to learn some Greek today. By the renewing of your mind. So the key there is the renewing of the mind. You cannot be transformed if the mind is not renewed. So the question is, are you renewing your mind? Your mind now and last week, is there any change? Your mind now and last month, 6 months ago, 1 year ago, has there been any change? See, look, is it, there is something. You know, I use myself as an example. I'm sure all of us, we have various examples. Okay, let me use my friend Mobola. He's a lawyer. He has to be a trainee lawyer. Did you become? You just finished school and you became a principal. He said he wished he became a principal. He can't. Because his mind is not trained. His mind has to be under legal pressure. That is, he has to learn to think, you know, he has to expose his mind to different legal conditions to the point that he thinks legally. You know, so my brother. Okay? So he has to be trained. Mm. All right? I will tell about myself because we have more apprentices. Who else has apprenticeship? That is, you have to, okay, brother, but you were a carpenter. Did you just wake up and you started cutting things? You have to learn. You have to carry wood. You have to go cut the wood. You have to labor, you have to learn different kinds of wood. You have to know. You have to know the wood.
You have to start as a gopher.
Aha, it starts like a gopher.
Gopher wood. Gopher wood.
Brethren, you see, we wonder why our mind is not trained. How are you going to train the mind? You must put the mind under pressure.
Mm.
You have to train, you have to bring the mind under the pressure of the Word of God. You have to what train the mind. Your mind has to be under the pressure of the Word of God. Now, I'll show you how God, what He told me about the mind. You see, if you go to 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about the veil over the mind. Using the word veil. If you investigate it, it tells you that it means that the mind has become thickened.
Mm.
Huh? Now, because it is thickened, well, I understand, maybe I understand it better than you because that is what I do. What it means is that that mind has lost its function. It's no longer sensitive. You are using the right word. The mind has become dull. All right? So, it cannot, you see, the mind is meant to see, to perceive. The mind is a seeing. In fact, the mind is a creation of images. It's a worshiper of any image that registers on the mind. The mind will assume the nature of the image that seems. I don't know if you understand. Any image that comes to your mind, you will be like it. And of course, he says, if you consistently put that image, then that mind will completely become like that image. That's how professionals are created. God made it that way because as we see Him, we shall be like Him.
Amen, amen.
He said, they that worship idols are what? Are like the idols.
Yes.
Because they are seeing the image of the idol in their hand. And they become like the
image. Those who is before you also present to be conformed to the image of
the Amen. Okay, so you're not
here. Also being made conformable to that image.
Okay.
So whatever is happening to us, to constrain our mind to begin to think in a certain way, is also shaping us as an image.
That's right.
Man.
So the whole thing is about images. And the mind is a house of images. The mind is a worshiper of images. Hallelujah. But we are being trained, God wants us to be trained, that we will only see one image.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And we see only one image. And
Amen.
As we see Him, we are changed unto the image from glory to glory. Amen.
Verse 18.
Okay, 18. Okay. But we all with our open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed,
yes,
into the same image.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Amen.
As by the Spirit of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So let's go back. We'll come to this. Let's go back to Romans. Romans is fundamental. Romans 12. So we're speaking of the renewal of the mind. But it so happens that you cannot change a mind like that by wishing. Because there is an active principle in the mind. That active principle must be removed. Must be removed. there is an active principle that is sitting over the mind. You must overcome it. You must, and you see, and no other person is going to deal with it but you. Brother Bob says nobody will cut your field for you. You must cut your field. It's your responsibility to cut the field, to throw down the image. Okay, and he told the man, is this Samson of Gideon?
Yeah.
Say, go destroy the image in your father's house. So he went there and he had to deal with it. But I want to look at that word renewing. Look at the Italian. Can you look at the Italian? It doesn't work. Okay. Now this word is a Greek word. Anakainu. It means to receive, in fact, uses the word to invigorate. Invigor. Okay, is it vigor? Okay, so you receive new life. So he's saying that you have to receive a new light in the mind. You know, there has to be a new understanding that comes into the mind. There has to be a new burst of energy that comes into the mind. That's what changes the mind. Yes. Amen.
To revive.
Okay, that's another word. To revive. Okay. So it's a be ye transformed by the reviver. So that means there is something you receive into your mind that was not there before. So good. So I have to do something. So it's not going to be a passive change. That is, I'm staying in my house, not doing anything, then I'm changed. No. So it's a being transformed
by
receiving new energy. And the energy is received in the lampstand and in the table of shewbread. Those are the two places where you receive energy.
Yes, amen.
And power. We were not there. The enemy makes sure that you and I don't get there. We don't get there. We're not feeding the soul. So the soul is busy eating ice cream, busy watching movies, is busy quarreling, is we're feeding it with bitterness and strife and contention, feeding all kinds of things, and it's not getting the energy required. So there's no change. You know, someone says that the summer has gone and gone. The autumn has come and gone. But we're not changed.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
But we must be changed.
Amen.
We can be changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's a key, there's a secret to being changed. And it's a very simple secret. So can we look at that secret? I saw it in Revelation 1. And when I saw it, I said, thank you, Jesus. Very simple change. Revelation 1. Come down. Wait. Uh-huh. Okay, Revelation 1, verse 9 and 10 is where the action is. He said, I, John, who am also your brother and companion where?
Oh my.
He wasn't in the golf club. John wasn't in the golf club with his cat just walking along. He was in He said, and in the kingdom of patience was in the eyes on. But look at verse 10. I was
in the spirit.
In the spirit. On the Lord's day. Amen. That's the secret. You have to be in the spirit. I thought somebody would shout, You know, a bitter is very easy to beat the spirit. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. Amen. That's the secret. Very easy to be in the spirit. Okay, so can someone tell us what does it mean to be in the spirit? From Bible definition.
Amen.
You know what? Yes?
Be baptized in Christ.
That's true, but going right into the sea.
He wasn't in the flesh.
Okay, he wasn't in the flesh, yes.
He was in tribulation.
Well, that's not his. There's a definition, it's in Romans.
Definition.
In the Romans. Good.
Not walking by the faith, but by the
Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Ghost,
God bless you, brother. Sit down. Okay.
Is that easy? Sit down. Is that easy?
To be the spirit.
And it's a capital S there.
Okay, whatever it is.
It's saying that being in the spirit is small.
No.
Well, we leave that to Brother Mark. He will settle us. But big capital S, small S, is for Brother Mark to tell us. But brethren, that's the same thing, that's the principle.
The same thing.
Okay, he says it's the same thing.
Is it?
Yes.
In order to be in the spirit, your spirit has to be in the spirit of God.
Spirit of God.
So small as, large as both.
Okay, so let's explain it so that everyone follows. Because for me, this is the differentiating point. What does it mean to be in the spirit? And who is in the spirit? Again, that brings us to the question of my first question: who are you? Who do you see? Oh, like Jesus said, who do men say that I am?
Yeah.
So I'm asking someone, well, I'm asking you, who do you say that you are? Is it your body? Or your soul? Or your spirit? Who is it that's in the spirit?
This is the spirit of them. And then your soul is in the spirit.
The two cannot be correct. You have to choose one.
Yeah, but your spirit is already in the spirit.
There's no explanation. Who is in the spirit? So you have to choose one. It's either your spirit, or your soul, or your body. So the question is, who are you? Are you spirit, or are you soul,
okay, no,
or your body?
I'm soul.
Your soul is in the spirit.
So I am in the spirit.
So here is the soul with the M, the Z, with the E. Alright. So here is the man. Now at the end of the day, the engineers know the design. This is a design. At the end of the day, the attachments are removed. At the end of the day, the body removed. It has done its job. The spirit removed. It goes back to God. This one goes down. This one moves on. So this is the man. Alright? The soul is the man. So the soul that sinned. So the accountability is on the mind, emotion. That is who you are. Good. So, and the Bible tells us that there are two spiritual realms. One, the Holy Spirit, and then the human spirit. Now, when someone is born again, he receives the energy of God. And we know, we're not guessing, we know that energy is in the blood. Because Leviticus 17 says he has given the blood where? Upon the altar to make an atonement. Because it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So out of these three, this is the target of atonement.
Yes.
Is the soul. And it says that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So this blood is bringing the life of God to the soul. So the soul is revived and is now aware of God. It's not, you know, so he can see the kingdom, but to walk into the kingdom is a different thing. All right, so he can see God. He's aware of God. He's, you know, so he's renewed. Now, this soul needs something. He needs more energy. He needs more life. So, life comes from the Holy Ghost into the Spirit. Now, the human spirit, when you read secular writers like Obama, he says that the human spirit is, how did he describe, those who have read the book, he said that the human spirit is indestructible, the human spirit is indomitable. It's what we already know. We don't need Obama to tell us. You understand? I know. I don't need to read Obama to know that. I know from my Bible that this spirit came from God. Yeah. This spirit is God. Don't you understand? God came into you. And he came because he wants to possess the soul.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? So, the life of God is in the human spirit. But because this, he said that your sins have made a separation between me and you. There is a block here, which when you get born again, the block is removed.
Oh, yeah.
And the life of God starts coming down. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
okay.
You have a free-for-all flow of life
Election. That
comes into the Spirit. And because this is in the Spirit, it also trickles down to the soul. But the soul has its own innate source of life. Let me finish. When I finish at the end, so that you know, I don't have something written down, so I'm just, you know. So the life comes into from the Spirit of God into the human spirit, and therefore it comes into the soul. And therefore, it comes into the body. But you see, this flow is temporary. So now, because the human spirit is overshadowed by the Spirit of God, as Lamarck was saying, this spirit and this spirit are in the spirit. Because now there is a connection. So he said, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Holy Ghost dwell in you. Now, the word in the flesh is in reference to the Spirit of God. So when someone does not have this baptism, he's in the flesh. So when you use the word flesh, means his spirit, his body, his soul is not under the overshadow, under that overshadow or cover of the Spirit of God. Okay? And that is what this man is speaking about. He says, I was in the spirit on the last day.
The distinction, though, of the distinction between spirit and spirit, one of the things that they're trying to do with these new Bibles is also make this thing acceptable to the New Age people who believe in other spirits. The Hindu thinking, for instance. And if they can make it so that it doesn't specifically refer to the Holy Spirit of God, then it's open to interpretation to any spirit that you want. That's the point I was trying to make.
A lowercase instead of
a lowercase spirit, a coming of another spirit, then they can buy these verses too.
And that is a very important point, because practically, from point of view of spiritual warfare, what that means is my spirit can also be overshadowed by another spirit. You understand? So if, for instance, I reject the Spirit of God, I'm supposed to carry out an activity and I shut out the Spirit of God, what do you think is going to happen? Another spirit takes over.
But that is where there is a little problem. because God does not allow, because the spirit must always be strong man. The basic man, the spirit must always be strong man.
Yes.
Part of what the blood does is it quickens the soul, so the soul can come alive to start directly to transact with the human spirit, because the human spirit is always there. But in the absence of the blood, the devils come in between.
Yes.
And hijack the soul.
Okay.
So that spirit that comes over men overshadows the mind.
Yes.
Because the soul has already a God. There is,
yes,
already a God.
Yes.
So the spirit of man is standing alone.
Yes.
While the soul is a fleshly soul.
Okay.
It's an alliance this way.
Okay.
And so I just wanted you to adjust that as the Holy Ghost is coming to the spiritual soul from up. That became necessary because we need to draw the devil from outside.
Okay. We had that picture somewhere, but so we can put.
So not
outside. Okay, but this side. Okay, from this side, alright.
This is the world.
Okay, I agree.
And Satan.
Okay.
Walking through
the body.
Five senses.
Yeah, you're talking. Okay.
So this man is under war. Huh? Because this man is here in the world through the five senses pulling the soul.
Yes.
God has to give the Holy Ghost to come and reinforce my spirit, to reinforce the reunion that he has now done by the blood.
Amen.
So that I decide who wins the war.
Amen.
So whosoever you submit yourself servant to obey,
he is servant. Amen.
Sorry, I'm just kidding.
Amen.
I don't want to preach his message.
Don't worry. You are free. It's not my message. Amen. So.
But then what happens when you walk in this obedience?
No,
what is it that happens when we walk in disobedience to the Spirit of God? And that's what he has explained, that when you block off the influence of the Spirit of God over you, when you submit to the Spirit, you are in the Spirit. When you block off the Spirit of God, you are in the flesh. Therefore,
the
power of the world is stronger. Okay? And begins to influence. And this is normally darkness, so it will pull you downwards. But the Spirit of God walks in righteousness, so it's going to pull you to please God. Do you understand?
So you see the carnal mind, how it works now. It becomes the very functionality.
Okay, good.
If the mind is getting carnal, you see that Satan, through the world, through the five senses, begins to pull the soul towards the world.
Okay.
So when the soul now says, no, I want to be spiritual, you fast and you cut off the servant of the devil, which is through the five senses. You fast, you now take a side. I want to side, 3-2. Huh? I want to go with the spirit. So you fast and you cut off the servant of the world and the devil. And give you blow to your five senses and reach out for the spirit. So your mind opens more towards God, towards more spirituality. So the more you do that, more light is coming from this side.
Yes.
And you are disadvantaging these people. And then you open yourself to the word of God so that you contend for the space that the devil even has on the outside. The spirit comes by hearing. So even you contend for the hearing space, saturate that realm with the word of God.
Yeah.
Then you saturate the side when you talk about TV and all that. You block that side also with the word of God.
Amen.
You know, so as you do that, you weaken the flesh and you strengthen the spirit.
Hallelujah.
So more is coming from up and you're blocking this man now. Yeah. And after doing that, the devil is also losing your body.
Yeah, man.
Because that's where your healing comes.
Yes, sir.
Because the thing begins to go through and break through and bring other levels of deliverance to you.
Yes,
even to the body. So you see that the quickening even gets down to the body.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So you begin to take even the body from the devil, from the realm of the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Towards the other side.
Amen.
I think it's important for us to basically kind of stick with the basics of it.
Yes.
For those here who are somewhat new to it.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're dumping a lot of information.
Yes. Okay.
One thing I think we need to understand that is a basic concept,
yes,
is that the spirit of man, it says, is the candle of the Lord that searches the inward parts of the belly. And we have to understand that that is an endowment, it, from God to man, to give man God consciousness. Without that, man would never have
that's
a chance.
Right. That's right.
And it is a temporary arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
It is a temporary arrangement, and we need to understand that. And we also need to understand that we are in need of the Holy Spirit because of the temporal arrangement of that and the warfare that he was speaking of that is going on, because what the devil wants to do is to drive that God consciousness, that God consciousness out of that arena.
Yes.
And so we need to keep it,
okay, that's it,
in that context.
Yes. I believe. Well, you know, sometimes we need a crash course, you know. So, some people need a crash course. Others need something more orderly. Okay, so I believe we are doing all because we need to overcome.
Amen.
We need to overcome, and my ability to overcome is. Depends on my ability to draw life from the Spirit.
Yes.
From my own. You know? And I believe that we all need to, for ourselves, find our way into it.
Yes.
People come in at different points. You know? So, I'm sure as we are speaking, the Spirit of God is bringing it down to you in your own experience, in your own setting. What we all, you know, are looking at, and then Brother Tony has even gone further. I didn't want to bring that in because I didn't want to confuse it, you know. But that it was, you know, it is a complete picture, you know. So you're not just looking at the human spirit, soul, and the body, but you're looking at the environment, and actually that's where I'm going to, because. If I think that it's just a matter of if I do not realize that there are other forces, the better we use the word influences. There are other influences that are involved in this. I haven't put it yet. But the scripture says that there are other influences that are working here, then we will not be recognizing a very important aspect. So let's look at oh my God.
Before you leave this,
yes,
there is also a thought that I would like to put on,
yes,
the table. And now I am approaching it from a carpenter's perspective, a construction,
okay,
person. The word that the Bible uses as uses the word to renew.
Okay.
But the basic meaning of the word is to renovate.
Yes.
And renewing and renovate,
yes,
are two different things from a carpenter's perspective.
Okay.
If you ask me to come in and renew your cabinets, I will come in and I will basically take the doors off and refinish them and put them back on, maybe with new hardware or something of that nature. However, now if you want me to renovate your cabinets, then I will come in and give you brochures for you to look at as to what style of cabinets you want, and I will come in and rip them all out and put new ones up. So there is a difference.
Yes.
It's not a matter of renovating. Not a matter of renewing. It's a matter of renovating.
Yes.
And renovating is entirely different than renewing.
Yes. And that's where I'm actually going to. Because You see, again, we have a reference. And the thing is that somehow we are not using the reference. And that reference is the tabernacle. It's complete.
That's right.
The tabernacle is complete. And the agent of change is what we were talking about in the morning. The door. Okay, I know that there may be other thoughts regarding the door. Okay, where do I have that?
Your page.
Although it's so busy. It's very busy. But you see, the agent of change that renovates the whole thing is Christ. Jesus is the agent of change.
Amen.
He's the agent of change.
That's right.
So let's look at the scripture. Yes?
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
In the term of Brother Bird is saying, the Greek word in Romans 12 there,
yes.
Yeah.
Says it is a renewal, renovation.
Yes.
Complete change for the better.
That's right.
Amen.
So in fact, okay, so let me use the word is ahead. So what makes the change is, what is the head of the soul? Who is the head of the soul? Who overshadows the soul? That was made the difference.
Yeah.
Good. Who is the head of the soul? So now, if you look at that scripture in John, okay, so let's look at it. We'll try and see what can. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day.
Yes, sir.
And heard behind me a great voice. As of a trumpet. Read that verse again. There is something that is active. How did what happened to him? He was in the spirit, and what happened to him?
He heard
and he saw.
How do you hear?
By the spirit.
I think that's how do you hear? Where is your ear?
On your head.
The inner
one.
Anyone?
No, on the head.
On the head. It's on the head. It's in the head. Exactly. So you see, you see, we have to bring the offering of our soul to Christ. And we have to receive a new head. They will come alive.
Mm.
Amen. You have to have a new head over the soul. You have to have a new dominion over the soul. You have to have a new influence over the soul. Okay, let's put it another way. You have to have a new husband over the soul. Is that not where you are going to? We are going towards being a bride. So we have to come to a union. See, the thing is, we have lost touch with the reality of oneness. Oneness. You see, he that is joined unto the Lord is what?
One spirit.
Now, when you come to the lampstand is one spirit.
Yeah.
It is what? You have a stem. Jesus said, I am the tree, is it not?
Yes.
And you are the branches. So the lampstand is speaking about union. Okay? 12 and 13. Okay, if you go down. It's okay. She has seen, it says, and I turned to what?
To see the voice.
Do you see the English there? What are you seeing? One, you hear. The next what?
You see
the voice. And being torn. So, okay, it was like the sound of and being torn, I saw seven golden calves, and then one walking in the midst of the candlestick. The thing is that we have not seen the Lord, brethren. We have not seen the Lord. It's a concept. He's still a concept. And an idea God is like an idea, not a reality. You know, a reality when we have seen the Lord. And that's how you know you have seen the Lord. Let's look at the man.
Yes, amen. 17.
And when I saw him, what happened to me?
Yes, amen.
I fell at his feet, slain. The old man is slain.
That's right.
That's how you know. The old man is slain. There is something that happens to this carnal man when he sees the Lord. Remember, it's a vision. So it is all about what you see. What have you seen? But how can you see if the eyes are blind?
Yeah.
And this blindness is an active blindness. It's an active blindness. And just go to 17. Let's see this active blindness of the soul. But in verse chapter 17. So go back to verse 3. Look at 2. Okay, good. Verse 3. So he carried me in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman doing what? The woman is sitting upon the beast. Okay, let's read it the other way. The beast is carrying the woman. The beast is carrying the woman. And that is the active principle. The beast is not just, you know, the beast is giving life, it's worshiping in spirit. And that is what we are told it was going to. See, the beast there speaks of the soul. The soul is not just, it is not just isolated. It is being ruled by a spirit. And it is a hallow spirit. And it's a spirit that opens up to other spirits. Okay, and that takes us to that picture. It brings us back to this place. So, I was going to put it this way. So let's say the harlot system.
Harlot.
Yes.
Harlot.
Now, this is a spirit, a system. It's a grouping of spirits that have dominion over the soul. So, remember, we're taking it bit by bit. So, at the basic level, you have your spirit, you have your soul, and you have your spirit. But your spirit is not in isolation. You know, someone says, well, I'm a Christian, I don't want any trouble. I'm going to heaven. Really?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to heaven. How can you go to heaven alone? Yeah, because there are spirits that rule over the soul. And so it's either the soul is being ruled by the Spirit of God, or it has this other covering over it. And because these spirits are covering the soul cannot receive life. So there's a block.
Yes.
So the river that's coming, remember, it says, this is John 7, 37. It says that in that great day, it says, out of the belly, we do what? We flow rivers of living water. And this speaks here of the Spirit.
Yes.
And he's speaking of those who are going to receive of the Spirit. So there's a flow of life. But that flow has been cut off. So the soul has become a wilderness. So the soul is dried out. Now, my ability to receive life is my ability to put off this covering over the soul. And that is the spiritual warfare. So Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when you are trying to overcome anger, it is not a decision you take on the 1st of January. from today,
yes,
I will no longer be angry. It's very good.
Amen.
But it will be good to realize that there is a spirit that is overshadowing the emotions. In fact, not just overshadowing, that spirit is now sitting at the four corners of the earth. There are spirits that rule over the desire, the mind, and so to overcome, it means we have to overcome those spirits.
Mm.
And so, like your sister was asking, so those spirits are familiar.
Yes.
They run in families.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them run in tribes. Some of them run in nations.
Mm.
So God says you have to come out from your tribe. You have to come out from your nation. So that coming out means I have to identify the particular spirits I am contending with.
Mm-hmm.
And begin to make war. And then to overcome them. And the Bible says that nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
We hear Brother tell us the story of how he overcame the spirit of anger. It was the spirit that was working in his family, isn't it? Not? And he began to contend with that spirit.
Yes.
Until God gave him the victory. So, if you are married to a woman, okay, let's put it that way because I'm getting into trouble now. If you are married to a man and the man is acting in a certain way, you need to look at his brothers. Is that correct?
Okay, what?
The brothers of that man.
Okay.
I'm telling you. That's what the sister do. They look at the father. The father, if that spirit is also in the father, then they know where that spirit is coming from. So, you don't need to get angry with the brother. The brother needs help. What do you do to the brother? You rebuke the spirit.
Yes.
You take authority over the spirit. And you bind the spirit. And you have peace in your home. But instead of doing that, we begin to read psychology books.
Yeah. Oh, God.
We begin to consult a lawyer. We begin to go to the internet. We begin to react. And then the spirit goes stronger and stronger. Okay, let's look at another example. You are dealing with a habit.
You're dealing with what?
A habit. Okay. And you may even call it a besetting sin. It is a spirit that may have been inherited, but because we have given it strength, it becomes stronger and stronger. Alright? Now, to overcome that spirit, you need more energy. And that is a renovation. That is, you need strength in the spirit to dislodge that spirit.
Yes.
Amen. And we don't overcome because we are looking at it from a psychological point of view. We think it's just something we can grow over. It's not a matter of growing, it's a matter of dealing with the spirit. It's a matter of recognizing the spirit. And if you sit down and look at yourself hard, give yourself a hard look. Can I go on?
Please.
I didn't hear anything from this side.
Yeah.
I can go on, okay. Please do take a hard look at yourself. You will see certain spirits operating. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus told Peter, get thee behind me.
Satan.
You do not know of what
Spirit.
You are. Who was it that said go behind me?
Okay,
I see what you mean. Okay, do you know what you say? You don't know of what spirit you are in. Okay, then you told Satan, get it behind me. Okay, good. So, so you already know the scripture. Okay, good. So, if God bless you. So, you know the scripture. Very good.
Get it behind you. You are not standing with the will of the Father.
God bless you very much. So, now that we know the scripture, can we apply it?
Yes.
Can we apply it to me?
Yes.
Do you look at yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Do you say certain spirits? Or you are so holy, no spirit in you? And when you really sit down and you begin to look at yourself with the eyes of God, you will see certain spirits that you have been submitting to. That you have. You are the one giving strength to that spirit. There are attitudes that you have strengthened over time. that you have allowed to grow strong. And I pray that this meeting will provoke us.
Amen.
Unto reinvigoration.
Mm.
Unto a change. Yes.
You said about how human spirit will get the life from the Holy Spirit.
Hang on.
Earlier on today, at the beginning of the meeting this afternoon, you said about the angels. You said that our human spirit receives the life of God from the Holy Spirit, okay? But you said there was a vision of angels and they were ascending. Yeah.
And descending.
And descending. What is the descending? Because I've never heard, I've always heard to be high-minded of the spirit. I've never heard of like the descending. What is the descending?
Well, you can apply in various ways, but what it means is, you know, in the things I do, you can do things, you can even, those who are involved in ministry, you can minister by the strength of man. That is, you go read books and you come and preach it. You depend on soul power, your ability to, you know, read scriptures, put it together. But you see, when you're able to go to God and get something, that is, the source of your strength is from the Lord. That means you are going up in the Spirit in Christ,
yes,
to receive life. So it's not just even in preaching, but whatever God wants, even in your work at home. Do you know the work in your office, you can do it in the Spirit?
Yes.
Your work, you can walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. Where you have challenges, Timmy is laughing, she knows. You know? Where you have challenges and you go up to God, you say, God, you'll get a word. How do I deal with this challenge? And you get a word. Say, do it this way. And you do it and all everything is gone. I mean, you see progress, you see life coming forth. Mm. So that is an example of receiving from the Lord and manifesting it. Okay. So it's an example. So we can go on and on, but the principle we are trying to bring is that there are spiritual principles. There are spiritual things that we need to recognize that are working within our soul. In the emotion, there are spirits that are working there. In the desire, there are spirits that are working there. In the will, in the mind, there are spirits. And we have been born with this spirit. And it is our responsibility to recognize this spirit and to overcome them.
Mm.
But you see, you cannot overcome the spirits of your own willpower. We need to learn to submit to the Spirit of God. Yes. And when we begin to open up to the Spirit,
yes,
then we find that we have strength. But let me read the last scripture and then we'll close because we are running. But it's a very important scripture. Ezekiel 47.
Yes.
Which brings us all back to the thought of the ability to discern.
Yes. That dream was God, you know, the ability to discern. Yes. But the thing is, before you can discern, something has to happen. And there has to be a healing. Ezekiel 47 is about the healing of the soul. Ezekiel 47 is speaking about healing of the soul. And there is one particular scripture says, everything and everywhere,
Father,
where that river will go.
Verse 9.
Okay, see verse 9. Where is it? And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come,
shall live.
Amen. That is something you can take. That is a strength you can take. That God can heal your mind. God can heal your senses. God can heal your hearing. God, there's a scripture, I can't remember, it says, he that made the ear So he that made the eye, shall he not see? Amen. Yes, in both ways. So if God made the eye, he can give you a new eye.
That's right.
To see him. If God made the ears, God can give you a new ability to hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes, amen.
So, you see, this whole thing here is speaking about healing, the healing of the mind. Now, if God heals your mind, one of the things that will be changed is that you will have a new ability to receive life from God. That is like a mouth. The mouth eats, is it not? But you see, the mind has the ability to receive life from God. And where we see that our minds are so always, it is because we need healing in the mind. And we can come to that river. Say, God, heal my mind. And the way to heal the mind is very simple, but it takes discipline. It says, this book of the law shall what?
Not
depart from your mouth. The more you have the word of God going through your mouth, going through your mind, it heals.
Amen.
You got Proverbs 4 said that if you keep my word, it shall be a life to you.
Life.
We do not have life because there's no life, there's no word. The word is what brings life. He says, my son, receive my word. You have to receive the word. He says, store it in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be life to your soul. See, our minds are not under the pressure of the word.
Mm-hmm.
I need to keep it under the pressure. And those of us in the Western world, we are going to pay a high price.
Yeah.
We have 24 hours of power. I only have 2. I'm telling you, I have two hours of light, and if I tell you things I do with about light, you'll be surprised. But you have 24 hours of light. 24 hours. I just have 2. In fact, sometimes for the past 1 month, no power at all.
24 hours of TV.
No, wait now. So the thing is, what are you doing with your mind? What are you doing with your mind? Okay, he has given the answer. 24 hours of TV, 24 hours of internet, 24 hours of Facebook, 24 hours of Twitter. It's all on the mind, junk in the mind. So the mind is being knocked down. Being knocked down. Chance. Alright? But you see, the Bible says, when it shall turn to the
Lord. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The veil
shall be taken away.
That means that mind that is so porous, that is, it's not sensitive to God, is it received life? Let me tell you how you heal the mind. The mind is like, it's like a leather. You know, it's like wineskin. It's skin. When you take wineskin, leather that is so chapped, you soak it in water. That's the word.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So say, let the word of God dwell richly.
Amen.
When you bring their mind under the word, soak
it. Soak
it. You need to do something else. You apply oil. That's the Holy Ghost. Oil and word. Oil and word. That leather begins to renew. Begins to receive the softness. Begins to receive a refreshing. Then you put it out in the sun. Some beats it. You put it back in the world. After some time, you look at it, it looks fresh. That is the renewal of the mind. Amen. We need to bring the word, our mind, under the discipline of the word.
Amen.
Who says you cannot play 24 hours scripture in your house?
That's the only thing that keeps me out of my bed.
Who says you cannot play 24 hours scripture in your office? At all? Who says you cannot play 24 hours messages? You just program it. The other day I found on YouTube that you can have 24 hour music programmed. It says top 100 music. Before that one finishes, it will move to another top 100 music. Before that one finishes. So it goes. It's programmed. It's programmed. You are sleeping and music is changing for you.
Jesus.
And it's bringing life. YouTube. Then there are messages. There are messages.
Okay,
we have the messages. We have the scripture. In fact, there are some programs where the messages are, you know, is comes at random. It's not sequential. The computer chooses the message for you. So you read Psalms, next time you read Kings, next time you read Proverbs, next time you read Mark. You just read different scriptures if you don't want to follow it. So the thing is that we have been given the equipment to overcome.
Yeah.
But we're not using. So if I want to overcome, my mind can be healed.
Yes.
He said, let the word of God dwell. That as the word of God begins to come, he said, it shall be life to the soul. He says, my son, let wisdom come into you. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. But I'm not going to talk about it, but you see, the mind instructs the emotion and tells the emotions, tells the soul what to do. It's called wisdom. You say wisdom is the principal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, in closing, I think there's a new dispensation that is breaking on the church. A people that are no longer in the outer court, but are coming into a place of authority. If you look at the lampstand, the wick is in the oil, 24 hours. That oil is the ocean of the Spirit of God. You know, so that means the week is permanently being energized by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
You know, we came in here and Brother Bob saw a vision of this young man. That is what the devil cannot contend with.
Amen.
You understand? It's happening far and in between, but you see, we can be in a place where we are seeing the Spirit.
Yeah.
Before the devil even does anything, we have already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I will rebuke it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, I believe we can go a step higher. You know, as we begin to turn to the Lord. It says that when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil
shall take it away.
The veil is there, but it's because we have not turned to the Lord. If you turn to the Lord, if I will turn to the Lord, I will find a healing. Because there is a river. That's the lampstand. That river is the lampstand. It's flowing. And he can bring healing to us.
Amen.
When we come to the table of shewbread, you see, there are two mountains. There's Mount Zion and there's Mount Sinai. The table of shewbread is Mount Zion. It is a place where a new law is being written, a new covenant is being written. He says, what thou seest, right? That's what he told him in Revelation. Say, what thou seest,
right?
Whatever the mind sees, he records. And whatever is rewritten is erasing an old program.
Amen.
And bringing a new
Amen.
Program of life.
Amen.
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 Amen. So we have to come to the point where we are seeing, where we are beholding the Lord, and there's a new law being written in us.
Amen.
Amen.
So I believe we can close. There are different dimensions that have come. The ministries have come from various dimensions. But the summary is, who are you? Who do you say you are? Who do you call yourself? And who is in charge in this house?
Amen.
Is this the body? Or is it the soul?
Jesus.
David said, my soul, wait on the Lord.
Yes.
My soul, hope thou in the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So when the Lord said, seek my face, my soul said, thy face, O God, will I seek. We need to begin to give right to rightly divide the word, divide or discern who we are. When I was a child, I speak like a child. Now I'm becoming a man.
Yes.
I must see and I must speak. I must behave like a son of God. The Son of God said, I will arise and I will go back to the Father. We can arise. We can come to God and say, Lord, receive me. Bring a restore, bring a renovation. Let there be a transformation. My soul will no longer feed on chaff. My soul shall feed, shall be made fat. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire
in his temple.
In his temple.
Amen.